Welcome to Dodgers Daily. I'm Casey Porter. I'm so glad that you've decided to tune in. Today we have a great show for you. We're going to talk about the Rule 5 draft. The Dodgers just added Michael Busch, Andy Páez, Diego Cartaya, and Johnny DeLuca to the 40-man roster. So why did they do that? They did that so other teams could not draft them in next month's Rule 5 draft. So all the players that are eligible for the Rule 5 draft that did not get added to the 40-man roster now can be drafted next month in the Rule 5 draft by other teams for $100,000 in return if a team drafts one of the Dodgers that are not protected right now. So we're going to go through all the players that aren't protected, the guys, the prospects that I think will be picked up and the Dodgers will lose to the Rule 5 draft. We're going to talk about what the Dodgers will be losing, and we're going to go through all those names in this podcast. So we have a great show for you. But before we get into that too much, just a reminder, if you like this video, if you like this kind of content, go ahead and click that like button, leave a comment, tell all your friends about Dodgers Daily, and share this video so Dodgers Daily can keep growing and we can keep providing you content like this in the future. Okay, so let's get to it. Let's talk about the Rule 5 draft. Who all is going to be eligible? We just said it a minute ago that Michael Busch, Andy Páez, Johnny DeLuca, and Diego Cartaya were placed on the Dodgers 40-man roster. So what does that mean? First of all, let's talk about the Rule 5 draft. What is it? It was put in longer than a couple years ago. I'm not exactly sure when it was put in, but it was put in to protect guys and from organizations from just hoarding prospects. So what happens is if you signed at 18 years old or younger, okay, after 5 years, you have to be placed on an organization's 40-man roster, or you have to be subjected to the Rule 5 draft, and other teams can draft you in that draft. If you were drafted 19 years or older, then that moves to 4 years. So let's say that you were drafted in 2019. So that's 2019, 20, 21, and 22. And that was the question. Was 20 going to count? Because there was no minor league season, but it indeed did count. So all of the 2019 draft picks that were 19 years or older, whenever they got drafted, are all subjected to the Rule 5 draft. So if the Dodgers did not put them on the 40-man roster, then other teams could draft them. So that's what the Rule 5 draft, it's meant to make sure that an organization like the Dodgers can't just hold on to prospects just to make sure that other organizations don't get guys like a Ryan Noda or a Mark Washington or a Nick Robertson, somebody like that. So it's meant to make sure that organizations do not hoard prospects. And I think it's a great rule. And I think it's, you know, it's obviously player friendly because it gives players the best chance that they have. You know, if they're in an organization to where, you know, like the Dodgers, that's very deep and has a lot of depth and they're blocked, then an organization that actually, you know, isn't as deep at their position, then they can get picked up in that draft. The organization that does, if you in the Rule 5 draft do pick up a player and you draft somebody, then you have to give the organization that you're drafting them from $100,000. At that point, here's the kicker. At that point, if you draft somebody in the Rule 5 draft, okay, then you have to put them on your 26-man roster right then and there, and they have to be on your 26-man roster for next year. If you don't do that, then it's just like any other scenario where you have to outright them, and then you have to put them on waivers, and then they have a chance to clear waivers where their original club could get them back. So really, I mean, unless the only guys that are really exposed to the Rule 5 draft are guys like John DePlantier that the Dodgers got last year that have major league experience that you really feel like, you know what, you could put a guy on a 26-man roster. And, of course, he was the minor league Rule 5 draft, so the 26-man did not apply to him. But you're only going to – in the Rule 5 draft, you're only going to take guys that you think you can put on your 26-man roster and that are going to help you next year. And the first guy that I want to talk about, because I think the guy that will go the fastest, I think the guy that's the most likely to get picked up is Ryan Noda. Ryan Noda is just a fantastic baseball player out of the University of Cincinnati. He went to Grant High School where he was actually the point guard on his high school team. I have talked to Kevin Malaszewski, and Kevin Malaszewski is from the Chicago area as well, and got to play him in basketball in high school. And Mallow, as they call Kevin Malaszewski, will tell you that Ryan Noda is the best athlete that he has ever seen. I think the way that he put it was he was absolutely unreal at point guard. He would take the ball off the rim for a rebound. He would go coast to coast, and he would dunk on the other end. That's how athletic Ryan Noda is at 6 foot four, 215 pounds. He is very big. In 2021, he led all of AA in home runs and in walks. And then this year in 2022, he hit 256, and he hit 25 home runs, which is very good. His OPS numbers are fantastic. And again, he was second in walks this year in 2022 in the PCL, and he had 20 stolen bases. Try that one out for size. Ryan Noda had 20 stolen bases. So he's not just a big lumbering slugger that all he does is swing and miss and then hit a home run occasionally. This guy can hit, and this guy can hit to all fields. His very first home run for the Dodgers, actually his very first at bat, came in 2021. He came over to the Dodgers in the Ross Stripling trade with Kendall Williams. He was one of the players to be named later. In his first at bat with the Dodgers, he hit an opposite field home run. So Ryan Noda, again, last year he led AA Central in 2021. Last year, it wasn't last year, it was 2021, but he led AA Central. It's now the Texas League again this past year in 2022. But he led AA Central in 2021 in home runs and walks. And this year, again, he was second in walks. And then he hit 25 home runs. And honestly, I'm going to tell you point blank, in 2022, I don't really even feel like Ryan Noda really got in the kind of groove that he can get into. I think he had a good year, but I think he is capable of much, much more. I do think the Dodgers are going to lose him, and I'm telling you right now, it's going to sting me because I love watching this young man play. I've gotten a chance to talk to him on a couple of times. Every time I message him or send a tweet out about him, he always responds to it. He's a wonderful young man. I know Frank Paperonis and my good buddy Pete Paperonis, they will be very sad about it as well, because he is a wonderful human being, a great baseball player. I do think the Dodgers are going to lose him to the Rule 5 draft. And like I said, it is going to sting more than most Dodgers fans, I think, will ever realize. So the next guy that I'm going to turn to is another guy that I've had a chance to interview, a guy that I've done a feature cut on. I also did a feature cut on Ryan Noda. If you go to my Dodgers Daily YouTube page and just search Ryan Noda, it'll be right there. There's a conversation with him, an interview, and a feature cut. You know, that I compare him to guys from the major leagues. So the next guy, same deal, Mark Washington, 6'7" out of Lehigh. Wonderful young man. He lost his mom in high school. He has dedicated a lot of things to her that has motivated him. And he is a wonderful pitcher that continues to grow his ceiling. At 6'7", he uses a lot of what he calls vert, meaning he has such a high delivery at 6'7", the ball vertically drops a lot, which gives him a large margin for error with all of his pitches. He has the fastball, changeup, and slider. The slider is probably more advanced than the changeup. Depending on the day, of course, the changeup is a very feel-heavy pitch. So some days you show up and you go, wow, my changeup's my best secondary. Other days you just simply can't feel it, and you got to go to your slider. Mark Washington is able to do that, and he is the master, the absolute master at tunneling, which means he's able to throw his fastball up in the zone and then start all of his off-speed pitches at that same location in that same tunnel. But instead of the ball staying on that same plane, they either drop or break left or right, and he's a master of that. So Mark Washington, he's another young man. I will be extremely surprised if the Dodgers don't lose him. If I was another club somewhere else, absolutely no doubt, especially if I was building and I didn't need to win games or try to win a World Series next year. If I was building for the next year or year or two, Mark Washington would be a slam dunk. I would put him in my major league bullpen. I would give him as many innings as I could, and I would go on about my way. I am that sold on Mark Washington. The next young man we're going to talk about is out of James Madison, Nick Robertson. And the thing about him is he is 24 years old, which is a little bit older. And if you look at top prospects list like the MLB Pipeline, I hear this all the time, and it just makes me cringe, because Pipeline prospect list, they're fun, they're for fans, but they don't mean anything, because they're not actually the best players in the organization necessarily. Because you take a guy like Drew Avens, you take a guy like Ryan Noda, who's a little bit older, those guys aren't going to be on those top prospects list only because of their age. So the thing about Robertson that's deceptive on that, although he's not on the top prospects list, is the fact that just go back If you don't trust me, go back and look at the amount of innings he threw in high school. His high school coach was a professional baseball player, so he knew how to protect Ryan Noda's arm. Then at James Madison, he threw a little bit over 50 innings. And then he had the Tommy John surgery. And so when you look at Nick Robertson, although he is 24, it's like he has the arm of a 20-year-old. Because it's been so well taken care of. So he has a bunch of years in front of him. He is 93 to 96 on the fastball. Just go to any of my social medias. You'll see that he has a very, very, very fluid motion. Somebody taught him how to throw the ball very freely. Matter of fact, he talked about his coaches at James Madison. The thing that they probably focused on the most was gaining the most amount of energy without using the most amount of energy, if that makes any sense, which is why he has such an easy motion. And so he's 93 to 96, and like Mark Washington, he has the changeup and the slider, and he is a strike thrower for the most part. He has times where he floats out of the zone like everybody does, but by and large, he got moved up to AAA. Mark Washington got moved up to AAA before Nick Robertson, and the thing about Washington is he went long stretches of times where he was totally dominant, like 18 out of 19 performances without giving up a run. Nick Robertson wasn't quite that good, but once he got to AAA Oklahoma City, if you look at his numbers, he was very, very, very good at the AAA level, and I think it's because guys swing the bat a little bit more because they're trying to hit their way to the major leagues. And so I think his ERA was somewhere around 2.56, something like that. So very, very good. This is a guy that, in my opinion, will have a career in the major leagues. He is very good. And if I was another club kind of in the same boat as Mark Washington, if I was building for the next couple of years and I didn't have to win necessarily next year, Nick Robertson would be an absolute slam dunk. I would get him. I'd put him in the pen. And just like Mark Washington, I'd give him as many innings as I could coming out of the bullpen in 2023, building for the future. So Nick Robertson, I'm high on him as well, the young man out of James Madison. Another guy I want to talk about, just one simply hell of a player, Drew Avens, and congratulations to Drew Avens. Him and his wife had a baby last week, and I'm so excited because I'm going to talk to him on Friday afternoon. And, you know, he's a Southeastern Louisiana Lion, and you know, I love those guys that go to those small schools, and they have such a sense of pride. Now, you need to watch Drew Avens play. He's the best player you've never heard of, because I'm telling you, like I said earlier, he's a hell of a player. And the thing about him is he stole 40 bases. Now, check this out. Drew Avens stole 40 bases, and he had a 50-game on-base streak, which is the longest streak in the PCL in the last 3 years. He gets on. Okay, so he got on base a lot. He had a 50-game on-base streak. He gets over. Again, I'm going to tell you, he stole 40 bases, and he hit darn near 300 this year. And you can imagine the instincts that it takes to steal a base and then the speed to do it with as well. Take that speed and instincts and put it in the outfield, and you can imagine just how good he is roaming in center field. This guy absolutely, 100%, completely, totally and entirely is a Major League Baseball player. He's got a lot of Lenny Dykstra into him. And the thing about him, you know, with that 50-game on-base streak, on back-to-back nights, on two different occasions, he extended the streak on two nights in a row with bunt base hits. A total throwback to that style of player, which, in my opinion, the Dodgers need more of. You know, the Dodgers have so many of the three outcome players, whether you walk, you strike out, or hit home runs. To have a guy that can fill in holes like Drew Avens and bunt his way on base, walk his way on base, hit his way on base, have an on-base percentage somewhere around 400, and then steal 40 bases like he did, that's a very valuable player and one that will be in the major leagues. I don't know if it'll be at the Dodgers because he was not protected, and I will. And again, I'm not a prospect hugger. I want all these young men to make the major leagues as fast as they can, and if it's not with the Dodgers, power to them. The goal is to get to the major leagues no matter who it is with. So that's what I am a fan of. Of course, I'm a fan of the Dodgers as well. But I do not want the Dodgers to keep kids around or players around. They're not kids anymore, young men around, you know, and them not make the major leagues. I want every one of these prospects to make the major leagues as fast as they can. So if Drew Avens gets picked up in the Rule 5 draft, which, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. It's $100,000 to do so. There is no doubt about it in my mind. If I'm a Pittsburgh Pirates or somebody like that, of course, I don't even know who their center fielder is, but if I need an outfielder, I go get Drew Avens 100% in the Rule 5 draft. I give him 500 at-bats next year. I tell him we want you to steal 30 bases. He hit 7 home runs this year, so I think he could be a guy. You know, he has pop. If you remember that he hit the Grand Slam in spring training, which was awesome. Tim Neverett was on that call. So he has some thump to him. Not a whole lot. I mean, he hit 7 home runs. That's not his game. He tries to get on base, and he tries to get over. He is your classic table setter. I would go get that guy. I'd put him in the one hole. I'd put him in center field. I'd give him 500 at-bats. I'd tell him to try to hit 12 or 13 home runs, try to steal 30 bases, and try to, you know, be somewhere in the top of the league in runs scored. And I think he can do that. I think Drew Avens is simply that good. So the next guy that I want to talk about is a guy that also I've had a chance to talk to out of Eastern Kentucky. Just a very mild-mannered, wonderful young man. Aaron Oschenbein, and the thing about him is, you know, he was a starter in college, then he transitioned into becoming a closer while he was at Eastern Kentucky, and he had some elbow issues and blew out his elbow in college, so he's had the surgery as well, and so he's already got that out of his way, but the thing that makes him attractive is his split-finger fastball. Not very many guys have a split finger. His has a profile of a changeup, but it's a really good pitch, and he matches that with a slider and then also a four-seam fastball. Now, in 2022, he came out of the gate just absolutely charging. He had just a million innings in a row and a million performances in a row where he didn't give up a run, got moved to AAA, and then dealt with injury for the entire rest of the year. And point blank, his numbers did not look good in AAA. And so for that factor, I mean, he was like 91 to 93 when he went on the shelf. He was 91 to 93, somewhere in there when he came back. So if you look at the metrics and the StatCast data that teams are going to have on him from his performances in AAA, and then you look at his ERA from the time he's in AAA, I don't think he's going to get picked up, and I'm totally fired up about that because, you know, again, I don't think a team's going to put him on the 26th next year because I think in the Dodgers organization with Rob Hill and Dennick and all the pitching staff with the Dodgers, that he is going to absolutely continue to flourish in this organization. And I think he's going to be a Dodger major leaguer someday. So I think it's best case scenario if he doesn't get picked up. Of course, I say that he would be on a 26-man roster for somebody else, so I shouldn't say that. But I'll say this. If he doesn't get picked up, which I don't think he's going to, it's not necessarily a bad thing for him because I think the organization of the Dodgers will continue to give him instruction he wouldn't get anywhere else, and that's going to help him for the future. So the next guy I want to talk about is a young man out of Penn State, Nittany Lion, Justin Hageman. And Hageman kind of has a knees and elbows type delivery to him, so he's not the most comfortable of at-bats for a hitter. He had a pretty good year. His ERA was somewhere in the mid-threes. He got moved up to AAA Oklahoma City very, very fast in the season. I believe it was like mid-April when he got pulled up to AAA Oklahoma City. So Justin Hageman, you know, I've seen him several different times with my own eyes. He's another one of those guys that's 91 to 93 to 94. He has the slider working for him. He has all those kinds of things. So Justin Hageman, he is another guy that is eligible for the Rule 5 draft. He's 26 years old, so he's getting a little bit older. So he's one of those guys that you know, hey, you might put him on your 26 and give him one shot if you're not, you know, if you're an organization that you're pretty convinced that you're not going to win the World Series next year, put him on your 26, give him 1 year, and see what you got because he does have, you know, a delivery that has some deception to it. So he had a 3.80 ERA. And in the PCL, the Pacific Coast League, the AAA League that the Oklahoma City Dodgers are in, that's pretty good because you're talking about pitching in Albuquerque and Reno and all of those kind of places with very high elevation, and it's easy to hit in those locations. So, you know, I mean, you know, 3.80, that's pretty good. So if you want to look at that and say, hey, well, let's put Hageman on our 26-man roster. Let's give him, you know, as many innings as we can out of the bullpen and see what he can do for 1 year. I could see that. I don't think he's going to go in the Rule 5 draft, but if he did, that wouldn't totally surprise me from that perspective. And the thing is, the Dodgers are so loaded. I mean, so loaded with right-handed bullpen arms that it's going to be very difficult for a guy like Justin Hageman to crack the lineup in Los Angeles for any kind of consistent period of time. So it might suit him the best to get picked up in the Rule 5 draft and go to an organization with quite a bit less depth. So we'll see there. But those are the pitchers that I think that are the most vulnerable for Oklahoma City. And then also Ryan Noda. Then you have guys like Hunter Fiducia, who is a catcher that got moved up out of LSU. He got moved up this year to AAA. Fiducia hit 238 this year with an OPS of 797. Like I said, he got moved up to AAA Oklahoma City. He got that. That happened for him in July. So although his raw numbers don't look great, you know, when you look at 238 OPS of 797 for a catcher, those raw numbers don't just pop off the screen. They're not all that good. Keep in mind that finding quality depth at the catcher's position, he is a taller, lanky guy. He's very, very, very durable. He throws down to second base, not unbelievably well, but certainly not bad either. He frames the ball very well. He has a great demeanor. Pitchers love throwing to him. You know, they call him Fetty, and he's very kind of laid back, and he kind of is able to calm down the moment, you know, in the big moments for pitchers whenever they might have a little bit too much adrenaline. So finding quality backup depth at the major league level at the catcher spot is not as easy as you think. So that's where Hunter Fiducia will find his value. Does an organization need some kind of backup catcher where he can maybe get, you know, I'm talking about next year, and where he could get, you know, a couple hundred major league at-bats? We'll see. I would be surprised. I'm going to just put it point blank. And you got to know that I'm big fans of all of these guys. I get to talk to them, and I get to, you know, I have the fortune to get to write about them and get to know them a little bit. So I'm huge fans of all of them. But going to be real, it would surprise me if Fiducia gets picked up. And I don't think that's necessarily all that bad because, again, he's going to get great instruction in the Dodgers organization and continue to grow. Another guy that got pulled up to AAA this year is a guy that I'm really, really high on. At the end of 2021, Devin Mann hit multiple home run, had multiple home run games in three games in a row in Amarillo. I saw it with my own eyes. I was at that series, and at one point he had hit six home runs in 10 at-bats. When Devin Mann, now he's kind of streaky, but when he's on a good streak out of Louisville, when he's on a good streak, he can do a lot of damage and have a lot of power. I do have a feature cut on him. I have a story on him. Same with Hunter Fiducia as well. And you can see what thing I like about him. He's so long and rangy, the way that he's able to cover the outside part of the plate. It's very natural for him. And he's able to really tattoo balls into left center that are hit on the outer part of the plate, which is so valuable because pitchers love to make hay on the outside part of the plate. And Devin Mann's able to cover it. Now, the thing about Devin Mann is he's from Louisville, so he's used to winning. The Cardinals have a very much so winning program. As a matter of fact, Devin Mann got to play in the College World Series while he was there. Now the neat thing about Mann is while he was Double A Tulsa, he played every position except for pitcher and catcher. Now, I begged on social media for Henny, their manager, to let him catch at least one inning and pitch one inning, but that never happened. But Devin Mann played all other seven positions while he's in Double A, so obviously very versatile. But his home is second base. And when you look at how tall and rangy he is, Devin Mann, that's a tall and rangy second baseman, 6'3", and with a lot of power and a lot of pop, and a guy that can get very streaky. And so I am high on the tools of Devin Mann. I think he's kind of like Gavin Lux. If, you know, I think what happened to Gavin Lux when he first came up to L.A. is that he got inconsistent playing time, and then he got moved around from position to position. And Gavin Lux was a guy that grew up playing one position, which was shortstop. Devin Mann is most comfortable at second base. I've seen it with my own eyes. When you put him there and you say, hey, you're going to be at second base for, say, the next 75, 80 games, let him get comfortable. He is very, very good, very talented. So Devin Mann, again, Michael Busch just got brought up to the Dodgers 40-man roster. So Michael Busch, no doubt, 100%. And again, I'm a big fan of Devin Mann. I've had a chance to talk to him. He's a great player. I'm high on his skills. I mean, you just have to simply point blank say it, though. Michael Busch is ahead of him at second base. So then, you know, that makes it a situation to where would it behoove Devin Mann to actually get drafted in a Rule 5 draft and go to a team that has a hole at second base, that's looking to build, that's willing to put a prospect that's as rangy and toolsy and as talented as Devin Mann at second base. You know, these minor leaguers, they know that most of the time, for most of these guys, they are not going to make the major leagues with the club they get drafted by. As a matter of fact, their managers tell them all the way through, every time you take the field, you are auditioning for every single club in the organization, not just the one you're with. So we'll see if that happens with Devin Mann. I would not be surprised at all. I don't think he's going to get taken, okay? But if he does, I will totally understand why. It will not surprise me in the least. And so those are all the Oklahoma City guys that are exposed to the Rule 5 draft that I think have a chance to get drafted. I hope you enjoyed my conversation on the Rule 5 draft, and I hope that you tune in to the next edition of Dodgers Daily. And I also hope that you visit DodgersDaily.net or visit Dodgers Daily on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok. Just another reminder, if you like this video and if you like this kind of content, go ahead and click that like button, leave a comment, tell all your friends about Dodgers Daily, and share this video so Dodgers Daily can keep growing and we can keep providing you content like this in the future. As always, thanks for tuning in, and go Dodgers!